Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
So today I want to continue kind of this series that I'm on called The Power to Change. Because I know that many of us in lives, there are things that we would rather see differently in our lives. There's things that we might struggle with. There's things that we might be challenged with. There might be weaknesses in our lives where we need God's power to change. In and of ourselves, no one in this room can change. Well, you might try. You might wear yourself out, but internally, I'm talking about transformation on the inside. I'm not talking about you looking good on the outside. I'm talking about the power of God on the inside of you, transforming and changing your life into another person. And this all started because of this glorious, wonderful celebration that we have every year called Easter. Because the disciples were after Easter, there was a period of time where they were frightened and scared, and there was a 40-day period where Jesus met them face-to-face, and he spoke about the things of the kingdom for 40 days. And then there was 10 days where they waited upon the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came into their lives in such a radical way that it took fearful, timid men that hid behind doors and all of a sudden became so bold, so radical, that they preached the gospel to all the world. And it went out even as they preached to people that they were once afraid of, that were going to put them in prison. So the reality is that there was a transformed life after Pentecost that changed the face of the world. And in that, my question to you, is your life a life that is living before Pentecost or after Pentecost? Is your life filled with the power of God to change, or is your life still walking and struggling with those things you wish would change? So what I want to talk about today is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to love. It takes a lot of power to love, right? I mean, there are some people, and I'm not going to name any names, but it takes a lot of power to love them. And no one in this room, but the reality is, when the rubber hits the road, when your wife might say something that upsets you, or that your child does something that just doesn't make any sense, your boss says a very harsh word to you, or is not pleased with your performance at work, or if you're spoken evil of, or if somebody says something about you that really just cuts you just to the core, are you going to love them? And can you love them? So this is kind of what I want to enter into today, is being empowered to love. So in that, Paul in Acts 19, he's in Ephesus in Acts, and he enters into this synagogue, and for 3 months, he is boldly reasoning with them, he's persuading with them, and he's talking about the kingdom of God. It's interesting that that's what Jesus talked with his disciples with for 40 days, the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the power of God on the inside of man. For the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom does not consist in mere words. but it's the demonstration of power. Power to change. Power to do something differently. Think a different way. So the reality is, it takes the kingdom of God in the inner reality of your life, in your heart, to really walk out the gospel, to live a life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit. And in that, it's the power of God is to come on the inside of man. And this is what I want to see. I'm believing for lives to be transformed. And we're moving through a series that's leading up to Pentecost, which is something we celebrate in June, which is actually 70 days after the resurrection. So in that, we're going to be celebrating something where the Spirit of the Lord is going to empower us to really walk a new walk, to lean upon Him in a way that we're going to come out of the wilderness leaning on our beloved, that we're going to be different. And so Paul is teaching to in Ephesus, and there's the demonstration of kingdom power. It's just amazing. This is power. If you want to know power in action, is that it says that even the handkerchiefs and the aprons that he had were being given out, that came upon his body, aprons, they would touch a handkerchief to him and then take it to somebody that was sick. And it says that people were being healed as they were touched by the handkerchief. Now that's power, don't you think? And then it says that demons were coming out of people. People were being delivered by handkerchiefs. But it wasn't the handkerchief. It was the power operating through the handkerchief. So disease spirits were leaving people. And Paul then begins to preach to them and say, any God that's made by hands is not a God. And what he's doing is that there were many craftsmen in Ephesus, and they were making these little gods to a god, Artemis. And they were really doing well, making a lot of money off making these little gods. And all of a sudden, Paul says, these little gods you're making? That's no god. That's not a god. Well, that didn't go over too well with the craftsmen. They got all upset. They said, man, this guy's like, you know, taking away our money. This is our livelihood. So they stir up the people to a point where there is a riot, where there is such a division in the city. They are so upset over this thing, and they're screaming, and they're yelling, they're angry. And in that, it erupts in total disarray in the city. And so Paul writes a prayer in Ephesians that really is birthed out of the heart of what is going on in Ephesus. And in that, it's a prayer that he pours out his heart to the people in Ephesus. And it's a prayer that I actually want you to begin to personalize yourself. I want you to put yourself in the prayer. I want you to put yourself in it as it's something that you can pray into every day. That it's something where you can allow it to take shape and form inside your heart and your life and change you as you invite this prayer into a daily prayer life. So Paul says this, turn with me to Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that the power of God would be so evident in your life that it would energize, empower your inner man. And in that, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, that's interesting. Because we know that when we confess Jesus as Lord, we receive him and he comes into our lives. But there's an aspect of the dwelling nature of Christ living within us that is going to be operated solely on faith, meaning that we're not going to be flighty in our walk with God. We're not going to be haphazard. We're like an on-fire Christian one day, and the other day it's like the lights go out. There is a resident presence of Jesus so felt within our lives that it's evident within us, and he's able to dwell there and live there. And the implication of dwell is that Christ is able to make his home on the inside of you. He's able to abide in you, remain in you, stay in you. You're not going to be like the birds of the air when the seed is cast and the one that gets all excited about Jesus, "Woo, I found Jesus." And then because of the trials and tribulation, the birds of the air come and snatch it away. There's a rooting inside of you. There's a deep essence of Christ that's seated on the throne of your heart. He's resting. He enjoys on the inside of you. He likes you. He's dwelling there. He's made it home there. So it says that after Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, why? That you be rooted and grounded in love. And you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him is able to do far more abundantly beyond, more abundantly beyond. Doesn't that sound like a lot? It's not just a little thimbleful. More abundantly beyond all that you ever ask or think, according to the power that works within you. The power that has come within your spirit, man. And to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I mean, Paul's prayer, expresses his love and desire for the church. And in this prayer, he's pouring out his soul. And he's explaining to them, therefore. He's saying, therefore, because he's talking about a mystery that was revealed to him for the sake of the Gentiles, and that was that salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is offered to the Gentiles. It is this mystery that was revealed to him from above. And he says, I bow my knees. Well, see, the normal posture of a Pharisee or the publican, as we read in Luke 18, it says that they both stand in prayer. The tradition or the method in which the Pharisees and Sadducees, they would stand on street corners and pray. Okay? So you're always standing when you pray in Israel. Well, Paul is saying something here. He's saying, I am earnestly desiring God. I pray, Father, for the church. And he's crying out and he's bowing before the Father. So there's such an earnestness in his heart. He's saying, this is so important that the church gets this, that the church understands that the love that God is requiring you to operate in and live in is going to require you to be filled with the power of God, to love at all times, to allow your heart to come alive in the love of God. And he's saying it to a degree, he's just earnest. I mean, Paul is almost pleading with us that, listen, Paul was beaten by a cat of nine tails five times. Five times. His back was lacerated. And to think that he was able to love the one that beat him all those times is phenomenal. I mean, we have a hard time. If someone says just a little something about us, you know, that they don't like, our feelings get hurt, and we have a hard time loving them. And Paul's saying, I'm able to love those that have beaten me with rods, have beaten my back. They dragged him out of this. After this in Ephesus, you know what eventually happens to him? He gets dragged out of the city, and they beat him to the point where they thought he was dead. And they're looking over like, oh, Paul, you really got beat up. He's looking dead. Oh, my goodness. And he gets up. How does he get up? Because he's empowered by love. He's empowered by the Holy. It says he gets up and he walks back into the city and he goes back and declares to them the good news of Jesus Christ. It's like, come on. That is being empowered by love. He is so motivated because he loves the church. And this prayer is emphasizing the need for an inner spiritual power to be resident within you. Has anyone ever really, really been offended? Really been offended? And you might even be still offended. I don't know. But when you're really, really, really offended, it's hard. The scripture says it's hard to win over a brother that's really been offended. Proverbs. And an offense really is a snare. It's a trap of the trapper. And when he traps you, it's like scripture says that an offense is like bait on the end of a stick. He's baiting you. And once he has you take a bite, he hooks you. I fish. I know how to set the hook when the fish takes a bite. But in that, when he hooks you, he's got you. And it takes the power of the love of God to forgive somebody that has offended you. That is a supernatural kind of love. That is love that you can't depend on your own strength. And you can't just like, oh, that didn't bother me. Yeah, it did. Your heart kind of recoils. And when that person's in your presence, you really don't want to be around them. You don't want to even talk to them. And so in that, he's saying that this Holy Spirit is to come within our hearts. Why? Because there's an aspect that the scripture talks about in the last days that because of the many offenses that are getting ready to unfold on planet Earth, it says that the hearts of many will grow cold because of many offenses. There is going to come a time in which there's going to be so many offenses going on that unless you have a power on the inside of you to love those that hurt you, mistreat you, it's going to be very difficult to keep that love on, to walk in the power of God in the midst of a people that are really upsetting you. So Paul prays in verse 16, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. I mean, what it's doing is that he's essentially praying that we would receive power to operate a new operating system that has been put on the inside of us. Okay, so let's just look at this. Let's just say that this Handheld mic is the new operating system that is put on the inside of you, which is called the agape love of God that has been poured out in your hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love of the Father has been poured out into your hearts through, this is agape. Now,
enables you to walk out with a new operating system that is on the inside of you. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are not able to love the God kind of love. The God kind of love is sacrificial, selfless. The God kind of love has no conditions. It's unconditional. The God kind of love is something that in our own natural abilities, we cannot operate in. Phileo love doesn't get it. Eros love doesn't get it. It's agape love. So this new system, as you turn on the switch, as you turn on the power, as you turn on the battery, it works and you're able to operate in your new life, which is in love with God. But without turning on the switch, we need the power of God. You need to turn on the switch and receive the Holy Spirit to operate in a new way, to love in a new way. It's the God kind of love, not the natural love that we can easily fall into. It's.
Let me just say it this way. Our phileo love, our natural love, has a hook. It has a hook. It has an ulterior motive, a selfish motive. I'll love you, well, if you love me. I'll love you if you do this. There's an ulterior motive to our love, and it has a hook. And that hook points right back to us. But the agape love of God is not a hook. It's straight. We have no ulterior motive in loving another person. It is operating solely out of God's kind of love, not man-centered love. So it's unconditional. And in that, it enables you to love even in difficult situations. So Paul is saying, church, you're getting ready to go through some really difficult times. And if you're going to be successful and survive and live the victorious Christian life, you're going to need to love the God kind of way. And it's going to have to be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus raises the bar when he says, for you to operate in this kind of love is going to require you to do some things you don't want to do. Okay? So what does that mean? Luke 6, verse 27 through 36. Turn with me there. Luke 6, 27 through 36. But I say to you who hear, I say love your enemies, not love your friends, not love those that like you. I want you to love your enemies. Now, I want you to take a moment and just think, has anybody had an enemy in life? Okay, think about that enemy. Think about the enemy for a moment. Now, Jesus says plainly, love that enemy. Are you able to love your enemies? In the natural love of yourself. It is impossible. It is absolutely impossible to love somebody in your natural flesh. Because I actually like to give them, you know, a knuckle sandwich. I don't want to love my enemy. You know, my response is, you want some of me? No. But he's saying, I want you to love your enemies. Well, to do that is going to require a whole new operating system on the inside of you, empowered by the Spirit of God, to love that kind of love, to love that kind of way, to not get easily offended, to do good to those who hate you. Oh, come on, Jesus. Really? To do good to those who hate you. Has anybody been done wrong? He's saying, now go do good to them. Ooh, they don't deserve it, Lord. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. How can you do that in your natural flesh? There's no way. Turn on the switch with the power of God on the inside of man. In that, he says, and whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Now, come on. That's Jesus. I mean, you know, if a guy slaps a guy, you don't just think, okay, I'll turn my other cheek. You don't naturally think that way. If somebody cocks you on one side, yeah, cock them on the other side. So the reality is that our natural impulse is not to have that loving feeling when you get slapped in the face, right? Well, Jesus says, love them. Pray for them that mistreat you. And you're not going to demand it back. And it says, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that for you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful. Oh, my goodness. Kind to the ungrateful. You know, I can't remember the number of times my children were ungrateful. You don't deserve that, you know? I mean, when you're ungrateful, we don't want to say, be kind to them. And ungrateful and evil men, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That can only be done by supernatural empowerment on the inside. This whole description of how love is to be demonstrated in different facets has to only be done through God's powerful love on the inside of your heart. You know what? The disciples in Acts, it says that they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I see why. It makes sense. They weren't just filled one time in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. It says in Acts 4, they were continually filled with the Spirit. Well, they were filled one time. Well, they need to be filled again because they need more. They need the abundant power of God flowing through their lives because every new situation has a new angle that you need God's help to love. And in that, we're to be ever being filled up for that love might be resident and dwelling within our hearts. That love might take root in your heart. So in that, it says a statement in Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12, which is speaking of a time that is really, I think, upon us right now. It's the last days. And in these last days, it says that the love of many will grow cold. And it's due to increased lawlessness and offenses and hatred. It's due to people getting upset over one another, getting offended. you did that way. I can't believe that. Why did you say that? We're getting offended and we're getting ourselves trapped inside our hearts in a capacity that is not enabling us to love the God kind of love. So Matthew 24, let's look there, verses 10 through 12. This is Jesus saying what's getting ready to take place. And then many will be offended in the last days and will betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So this is suggesting that there's a spiritual decline where God's people, who have the love of God on the inside of their hearts, are beginning to be weakened. Their hearts are beginning to get cold. As my brother said today, I met my brother here and he says, you know what? I'm traveling across the United States to wake up pastors to get on fire for God. Because the love of many is waning. We need the fire of God on the inside of our hearts to accomplish the mission that Jesus has given us. And in that, it's saying that, guys, listen, there's coming, you think there's offenses now? Wait until the coming days and years down the road. We're going to get offended by so many things. Well, we can't, because it potentially could cause us to be shipwrecked in our own faith. We don't need to be shipwrecked. We need to be on fire with God, in love with God, empowered by the Spirit, so that I can walk out a supernatural life to love those that don't like me. That takes a radical kind of love that is offered through the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. It is the divine presence of the Holy Spirit energizing and strengthening my inner man so that I can persevere, so that I can love at all times, so that I can forgive, that I can bless, I can do the opposite. You know, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to react. He wants you to react at certain situations and cause a major reaction, an eruption, an explosion, anger. And he's like, well, this is working really, really good. I'm getting them pretty riled up. Let's do it a little bit more. And he gets us riled up to where our hearts get hard and shut down. And you're not able to forgive like you were. And so the reality is that this is a prayer that Paul prayed earnestly for the church, that he wants you to put yourself in that prayer. He wants you to put you in that prayer and to pray this prayer daily to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man. Your inner man is where the Godhead, is where the presence of God dwells, is in your spirit man. He's saying, I want your spirit man to be energized with the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man, not your outward actions, in your inner man, in the core of who you are, to be empowered. And it suggests that as we read that first opening verse, that so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, it's suggesting that we can't even have faith to believe big with what God wants to do on this earth unless we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can't even believe what God wants to do because of our... Let me just say it like this. When you're going through difficult times and hard times, and I know you know what I'm talking about, your spirit man can shrink back and it can hide and it can go into kind of like a cave. Your spirit man shrinks back because it's like, ouch, that hurt. I don't like that. I don't like what they said to me. So your spirit man shrinks back. And in that, you shut the door to the life of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. And he's saying, I want you to invite the power of God into your inner man so that you can open up the door and you can stand up. You know what? There's times I got to speak to my spirit man. I got to say, stand up. Come to attention. And I call it forward. And I say, I bless you in the name of the Lord with the love of the Father. And I'm blessing my spirit because my spirit man sometimes wants to retreat when I go through hard times. I want to protect myself. I want to watch over myself. I don't want this to happen again. Paul's saying you can't do that. You can't retreat. You can't recoil. You can't just go into a cave and think that you can just live out your Christian life. He says you need the power of God to do what Jesus has just talked to us about, and that is love your enemies. You cannot allow your spirit man to shrink back and to be in fear. You know what happened to the disciples? They were in fear, they shrunk back, and they hid behind doors after the resurrection. They were fearful. They were afraid. But the scripture says that what? Perfect love casts out all fear. It drives out the fear. Perfect love casts out. Well, you got to invite it through the power of the Holy Spirit into your heart to walk in a way that is not fear-bound. Our heart and our hearts are wide open, and we know that our hearts are His. So even if we get someone says something unkind to us, He's there to heal us. He's there to restore us. He's there to energize us and strengthen us. So the statement implies that we need the Holy Spirit's power in the inner man, which enables us to love others effectively, even when our emotional capacity might be strained or even discouraged, might even be limited. So really having this God kind of love on the inside, it enables us to persevere. It enables us to walk through what we're going through with perseverance and faith. And the statement of needing the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man also suggests that to endure the difficulties and stay steadfast in a season where there could be spiritual decline, where your love is growing cold, it's going to need a supernatural impartation daily coming into your life to strengthen you, to help you rise up. You know, when you meet somebody, sometimes you can feel that that person's spirit is strong. You can feel if they're strong. You can feel them when you meet them. Their spirit is awakened, alive, and is attentive. And you can tell when somebody's recoiled and they're fearful and they don't want to do that again and they've been hurt. Our spirit man is the core. And it has to be energized and strengthened at your core so we can run this race set before us. And in that, it's applying that we can't even operate and walking the God kind of faith without the Holy Spirit. We can't even believe God without the Spirit empowering us. So in this, it is essential. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out into your heart through the Holy Spirit. So it's only through God's power, obviously, that we can love others in the way that He loves us. And this is also confirmed in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. He's not given your spirit fear. Fear is not to be in your spirit man, in your inner man. Fear has no place in your inner man. But it says, but of power. Your spirit man is to be filled with the power of God. It is to be filled with the love of God so that you can walk out a disciplined life in God. It takes this supernatural encounter that we have to invite into our life on a daily basis. So the kind of love and power and self-control that we need to overcome the weakness of this strengthening of your spirit man will help you to overcome the weaknesses of your flesh, falling into the temptations of the flesh, wanting to do the desires of the flesh. This empowerment will help you be an overcomer and to see that you can find victory in areas that you struggle with on the inside of your life. It is through the Holy Spirit. And in that, as Paul is talking about this in Ephesians 3, it's like a staircase that we're climbing. It's like a staircase. It's like four staircases. We keep going up. We keep going up. We keep getting stronger. We keep getting filled up. And it's like it's steps that are going upward. And in that, these key words are you're strengthened with power to be so that love can be rooted and grounded in you, that you can have the knowledge, the understanding, the experience of the love of Christ dwelling on the inside of you. This is not a mental treatise where you're trying to just figure out God. He's saying, I want you to know God and experience it, to allow it to come alive within your heart, and then that you might be filled up to all the fullness of God. So it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we proceed down this ladder, staircase. So the first one is that we're strengthened with power, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And in that, it is enabling an agape love that is a God kind of love to operate inside your life. And it can allow you to have love for individuals that are very difficult to love. And this is a supernatural thing. And in it saying that as you have the courage and boldness to step out, but it's also saying that Christ may dwell in you. That word dwell really means that it's like Jesus finding his home and he's sitting down on the inside of you. He enjoys being in your house. He enjoys being in your heart. Enjoying him, loving him, remaining in him. You know, that's why when Jesus talks about the parable, when he talks about the vine and the vine dresser and the branches, he says, you must remain in me, stay in me, abide in me. Why? Because apart from me, you can't do anything. You can't do anything apart from me. So abide in me, rest in me. And why is that? Because a branch cannot survive without sap. A branch needs sap to produce fruit, leaves, all the nutrients that a branch needs comes through the sap. Well, guess what the sap is in you and me? It is the Holy Spirit. And as your branch is staying, remaining in Jesus, the sap of the Holy Spirit flows into your branch and produces the fruit of the Spirit. And in that, we become a real fruity people. And there's this implication and understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man is to even be there so that we might live a life of faith. because it's easily to fall into the pattern of walking by sight and not by faith. When we look at the circumstances of our lives, when we look at the issues that are going on, they are determining our reality. And to see another reality or another narrative of your story is going to require you to believe in the impossible. And it's going to require you to have faith to believe that all things are possible to them who believe. And so for the narrative of your story to change is going to require a measure of faith in you walking in and living in. But to even have that, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to have faith to see your body healed. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to see your marriage transformed. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit for you to have a restored relationship with a friend that there's been strife, there's been hurt. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to have faith to believe that he can do a miracle and rescue your child that has gone wayward and has once nothing to do with God. Because when we set our sights on the natural, it begins to neutralize us and we begin to paralyze us. But he wants us to have a faith to believe in the impossible, that the narrative of your story actually can change. He wants us to believe that your circumstances can change. And then secondly, he wants to root you and ground you in love. He wants your roots to go deep in him. He wants your roots to go deep into him such that with the wind and the waves that come into our lives, that with a strong root system, I mean, it's amazing the number of trees, thousands of trees that were toppled over this last hurricane that we had here. You see the root balls that are out, you know, that are all over the land. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, Jesus doesn't want your root ball to be laying on the side. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in him so that whatever happens, you're not going to be knocked over. But not only are we rooted and grounded, but the foundation of your life is strong. The foundation is built around you. And that it is, I had a dream one time of a young man that I was discipling and I was caring for, and I was just walking with him through the early season of his life. And I had a dream about him. And we were building the foundation of a house, and it was on the beach. And I remember this young man came to me. He said, "I got the best bricks out there. They're rubber. So he starts building, you know, this foundation with rubber bricks. And I said, No. I said, "We don't use rubber bricks for a foundation. We use real bricks." And so I showed him these bricks, and I showed him how to build the foundation of his life. And even though it was kind of like on the beach, this foundation was strong and was, and I began to tell him in the dream, when the weight of life comes upon you, he doesn't want your house to crumble. So I instructed him on how to build the foundation of the house so that when the pressures come upon us, you don't collapse. And it was really interesting because in that season of his life, I mean, God was doing a deep work in his heart, but he was rebuilding the very foundation of him that would be built upon the solid rock of Christ. So our foundations are to be strong. Our root systems are to go down. And the only way root systems can go deep is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your root system goes deep. You're rooted in love because of power. Love just doesn't just grow. Love's got to be empowered and go deep by the Holy Spirit. So, this whole thing has been a setup by God. He's saying, if you want to walk out the kind of love that I'm requiring of you, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in your inner man, and you need to be praying that daily. Put yourself in that prayer. so that your roots go deep. And in that, and really, it was really amazing too, is that the depths of this understanding is limited just by my own self. But this really comes alive because he says, you will come to know with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. So really the magnitude and the fullness of understanding the love of God is in the context of the church, in the family. That's why we all need to be together. We don't need lone rangers anymore. Lone rangers today don't make it. They don't make it. We got to have the family of God. We got to be knit together in love to understand the fullness of God's love so that we can be examples of love to a world that's watching us. And in that, they're looking, wow, they come to know that we have love for one another. That is displaying the beauty and the magnitude of God's love when we're here doing this together as a church. We're linking arms and we're saying, I'm with you. I'm beside you. And in that, it takes a family to really understand and grasp the depths of God's love. And then he says this, thirdly, to know the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. This is saying, I want you to enter into the experiential realm of understanding the love of God inside your heart. I don't want you just to talk about it. I don't want you just to think, well, that's just really nice. That's a nice thing to say, Sam. No, he's saying, I want it to come alive. I want you to feel the Holy Spirit pulsating inside your heart, where love comes alive, where you're motivated by love. Jesus was motivated out of love for the multitudes, and he healed all the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons because he was motivated by love. When's the last time you were motivated by love for someone else? You were motivated because you love them. And you don't even know how you got the love, but you love them. It's from the Holy Spirit. He motivates you. He moves you. He compels you to love the unlovable and to love those that don't even like you. That is an experiential love that he wants to explode on the inside of your spirit, man. That you come to bask in the love of God, to know the love of God, to relish it, to know the riches of the love of God. And this is all empowered by the Holy Spirit to allow us to see and know and understand this love that is unending. It is just, and we get to enjoy it forever. This love isn't going to get cold or dry. It's going to be wonderful. Forever and ever, we get to experience the love of God. But he's given us a foretaste. I'm going to let you have a practice trial right now on the earth. Get to know the love of Christ and experience it and know it. And then lastly, that we get to be filled with all the fullness of God. Not only are you going to get experience the love of Christ, you're going to be filled up with all of the fullness of God, which is really describing what happens in Colossians. In Colossians 1:9, at the same time, he makes it plain as he did to the Ephesians church, that we come to know ourselves of the fullness of Christ, which is the fullness of God on the inside of man. So what does that mean? That means if you had a cup that was filled up halfway, I mean, that's a nice cup of water. But all of a sudden, if that water, all of what goes all the way up to the rim, starts flowing out on the sides, overflowing abundantly, that love is filling the whole cup. And he's saying that we might be filled up with the fullness of God, of who God is, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, All of the fruit of the Spirit. We just get to be a really fruity people and filled up with all of God, and therefore we are becoming like Him as we walk out our lives filled with the Holy Spirit. So, in conclusion, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. Far more abundantly beyond. Does that seem like a whole bunch? Far more abundantly beyond. All that we ask or even think, even your thought life, He knows your thought life, and He can do far more abundantly beyond even your thought life. According to what? According to the power that works within you. He circles back around. He circles right back around up to verse 14. He's saying, this power source that I'm asking you to pray earnestly, I'm asking you, I plead you to pray this prayer to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner man. He's saying that is the very power source that is God is going to utilize to do abundantly beyond all that you ever ask or think according to the power that works within you. He's tapping into the very power source that He put within you. He said, because of His strengthened spirit, man, there's going to be a whole lot of things going on in your life, far beyond what you ever think or imagine or dreamed of. The dreams that you never even thought could come true are going to come true because of the power of God dwelling on the inside of you. And in that, He says, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He's able to do the work in you through the Holy Spirit's power in your inner man. He's not going to be idle, inactive, sitting back on his laurels, eating bonbons, not worrying about it. I mean, He's going to be active. He's going to be operating in your life in a powerful way because of the power source that is within you. And then it says He's able to do far beyond all that we ever ask or think. He hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. He's taken your prayers and He's going to expound upon them and use them. And even what you think, isn't it amazing that God is reading your thoughts? Yes. He's reading your thoughts and He's saying, those good thoughts that you're having, I'm going to bring about as you think upon Me. So dare to believe big. Dare to dream big. Dare to believe that God is able to do something that will just blow your mind. He wants to energize your dreams with the power of His Spirit. So He's able to do far more. It's not like a calculated measure. He's giving you a thimbleful of power or love. It's like He's got the Niagara Falls just pouring over on top of you. And all of a sudden, it's exploding in your life. And it's unlimited what He's able to do according to the power that is at work within you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stay in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21 for a long time because I need it. I need it. I need God's power operating in my life so that I can see change, so that the interior of my life has a new operating system. And I'm able to walk out my life in a way that, just like the disciples in Acts, it says that when they came into the city, And when they began to preach to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know what they said? They could tell that they had been with Jesus. They could tell because they're starting to act like their master. Does anyone want to see new outcomes in your life? On the interior of your life? You know the word, you know what insanity is? Is keep doing the same thing over and over and over and getting the same results. That's insanity. If you want to be, well, I don't want you to be insane, but keep doing the same thing and keep getting the same results. Something's got to happen to flip the switch on the inside of you to be filled with power. Some of you might really be struggling with some temptations. And when that temptation knocks on your door, it's hard for you to say no. That's why the scripture says in the Lord's Prayer, let us not be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. When the devil knocks at your door, you're going to have the power to say, you know what, Jesus? Why don't you go ahead and answer the door? Because I don't want to open the door. I don't want to walk through that temptation anymore. Jesus, why don't you take care of it? You're going to have the power to do that. But until you have the Holy Spirit's power in your inner man, guess who's going to open up the door? You. Are you ready to change, or do you want to continue to flirt with the evil one? It's time to change. It's time to operate with a new system in faith, in the power of God. Don't open up the door. You know, I had such a word in this last year the Lord gave to me that got my attention. Because we all have our struggles and temptations and weaknesses. And sometimes we keep seeing it over and over and over again, don't we? Why is that? I said, Lord, why do I keep seeing these temptations over and over and over again? You know what he told me? He said, the enemy knows your playbook. I said, what? Listen, I'm into sports. I played sports all my life. I played baseball. I played football. And when I'm competing against another team, and if I'm playing in baseball, whether if I'm playing in football, I wrestled, you got a playbook. When you go into a game, you got a plan, an agenda, a way in which you're going to defeat the other team. Well, if you go in to a football game and you know the plays that you're going to run because they have weaknesses on their side, you know where you're going to begin to hit them at their weak points, where you're going to be able to win the game. But all of a sudden you go into the first half, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, who gave them our playbook? Because they're outmaneuvering you every time. Every time, every corner. It's like, whoo, wait, our playbook's not working. Well, if you keep seeing temptations after similar temptations, could it be that the enemy's been watching you since your conception, and he knows your weaknesses, he knows who you are, and he knows how to pull the trigger and hit that weak spot? He's been studying you for a long time. He's called the Ancient of Days, in a way. You know what? There's an old English proverb that says, youth and zeal. There's youth and zeal, and there's treachery. It says that treachery, the English proverb, treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. He's treacherous. He's been around a long time. He studied you. He knows you. and even knows your playbook. So it's time for you to realize, to turn the table on him. You need the power of the Holy Spirit energizing you in a way, all of a sudden you're going to be able to walk out your life with a new walk, with a skip in your step, with victory on your lips. And you're not going to be tossed to and fro like the waves in the wind. You're going to be so anchored in him, rooted in him, that you're going to be more than victorious in this life. I want to see victory in this house. I want to see some victory. I want to see some people are able to overcome, because we're called to be overcomers. And I want to see an overcoming faith arise in this house, where we begin to, give the enemy a black eye. It's time that we not be pushed around so much, but that we rise up in who we are, more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And in that, we are walking in a new way with a new love that is evident within our lives. And I'm excited about that, church. It'd be great just to begin to hear some testimonies of what the power of God is doing in your life. That maybe he sets you free from some of those secret things that you're doing. That you're able to walk victoriously in those areas that you're struggling with. It's a new day, church. And Jesus makes all things new. Let's allow him to do that miracle work on the inside of us and make all things new. That we live and think in a new way. I'm excited for this, and I want to encourage you guys to begin to put yourself in that Ephesians 14 prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to quickly energize you. But it might take some time. I used to live in Lee County in Sanford, North Carolina. Anybody know where that is? So, Lee County. Well, it's the clay capital of the world. It's clay everywhere. The top of the soil is clay. When it rains, guess what the water does? It just stays on the top of the clay. But after a while, it'll start seeping down and getting down into the depths of the soil. That's like this prayer. It might take some time, but allow the power to go deep, 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 deep down inside of you, root you and ground you in this love. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, I praise you and thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is to come alive in our hearts. I thank you that we're to live our life according to your word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take this prayer in Ephesians 3 and that it become a living reality, Holy Spirit, on the inner man of everyone here. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would baptize each and every one in the love of the Father, that they would have a new baptism of love inside their spirit man to give them the strength to be overcomers. So I pray now that, Father, our hearts would come alive in love with you, God. And I thank you that this will be birthed by the wonderful Holy Spirit, who is our friend, who is our helper, who is our comforter, who is the one to show us the way and lead us unto Jesus. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would grip us in our inner man, and you would empower us now for the days that are ahead, that our hearts would be burning for you, that our hearts would be on fire for you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're blowing on the embers of our heart so that there might be a raging flame, a fire within us. And I thank you, God, for doing this work in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, I just want to invite anyone that just needs prayer in any area of your life. If you're needing the help of the Holy Spirit to speak to you about an area that you just need help in, I just want you to come forward and get prayer. So if some of the prayer team could come on up. You know, there are challenges, temptations, and struggles that many of us can go through. And you know, sometimes we need one another. We need one another in helping each other to get through, to get the victory. So if you need some prayer in any area of your life, I just want you to come forward and get some prayer. And Father, I thank you that you are alive today. I thank you that you have risen from the grave and defeated death, hell, and the grave. I thank you that you are alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of your Father. So, Lord Jesus, we worship you and praise you and thank you for winning the victory for us. And I ask now, Lord, that your graciousness, I ask, Father, that you would be so kind and gracious to this church. Father, I'm asking that you would make your face shine upon them and let your favor go with them, and that you would lift up your countenance upon them and give them your peace. And Lord, I thank you for that, and I praise you for the shalom peace of Jesus. It's in your precious name, Lord, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And if you need prayer, I'd like for you to come forward and get some prayer. Allow the Lord to touch you. Amen.